begin the current daf Pesachim daf Tzadi Beis. We begin on the bottom of Tzadi Aleph Mem Beis, two lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continue on the theme of the previous Mishnayos regarding those that are fit for the Korban Pesach and those that are not. Now, specifically, our Mishnah will begin with a case that we spoke about in the previous Mishnah, that is that of an Oinen. Now, our previous Mishnah spoke about people that you're fit to be sheikhed and berserk in the love of Pesach, that you could slaughter and throw the blood for him, that is considered roh at that time in Erev Pesach after Chatzais. Now, our Mishnah discusses something related to that, the next phase, regarding actually consuming the Korban Pesach that evening. So our Mishnah begins. Oinen, regarding someone that's an Oinen, and again, that an Oinen is somebody that has one of the seven close relatives that had passed away and they weren't buried yet. So there's two halachas related to what he has to do to eat his Korban Pesach that evening. In other words, toivel, first halacha is that he has to immerse himself in the mikvah. And then the second halacha is that he can go ahead and eat his Korban Pesach in the evening. Now, as Rashi explains, although in the evening time, let's say by the Seder night, when it's the night of the 15th, the one that was a relative of him was not buried yet, so he's still an Oinen. However, there is no aninus, min ha-Torah, that there's no halachic status of an Oinen only during the daytime, which the source of aninus, that one is forbidden to partake from kachim, is a pasuk in Meyikra Perek Yud, where it discusses when Aaron's sons, Nadav and Aviyu, had passed away on the Shemini Limelum. So, regarding one of the karbanos that they weren't eaten, so Aaron said, "Hein heyom hakrivu." These karbanos were brought today, and he was essentially saying, "Like I'm an oinen, and I'm going to eat it today." What do you mean? It's forbidden for me to consume from kachim if I'm an oinen, because an oinen is forbidden to partake from kachim. But the diak is, the inference is, hayyim, today. But at nighttime, it would be permitted. And that's the halacha we're discussing over here. That when it comes to nighttime, it's not going to be any more halacha deraisa, it's only going to be rabbinic. Now, that's regarding the permissibility of eating it in the evening. Now, the halacha of requiring tefillah, which essentially is why would he require to be immersing in the mikvah if he never touched the relative of his that was a corpse, so he didn't contract any tumah. And this is one of the 11 milas which are brought by the chaymer of Kodesh, as the Gemara Chagiga brings in Afchafalaf and Manalaf, that an oinin and mechusi kippurim, both who are not tummy right now, but they still need to do a tefillah, an immersion in the mikvah, to then go ahead and consume kachim. And the reason is because since up until now they were forbidden from partaking from kachim, not because of tumah, but for different reasons. So they're abundant required a tefillah, and that is although an oinin again never became tummy, and the mechusi kippurim, who just didn't bring his carbon yet, already went in the mikvah the day before, so already had tefillah. In spite of that, they have to go ahead and immerse themselves in the mikvah. So that halacha implies that they're allowed to eat their carbon, the oinin, in the evening, although they're an oinin still, but that's not a deraisa, so they could eat in the evening. That's regarding the Korban Pesach. Avalei b'kachim, that halacha does not apply to other karbanas, and the oinin cannot eat in the evening. The reason is because there's still a status of aninus, although, albeit a drabbanan, rabbinic, but the din drabbanan says, midrabbanan, you cannot eat kachim. Whereas regarding the Korban Pesach, that is, the Gemara will explain in the coming daf, that lo yamidu divrei b'makom karas. To not eat a Korban Pesach, to not bring that Korban Pesach, is a violation of a chiv karas. That is something very strong mitzvah, and therefore the Rabbanan set aside, so to speak, their status of aninus to allow one to partake from the Korban Pesach. So there's this discrepancy regarding the einin when it's in the evening time, when by Lila there's only rabbinic status of aninus. Regarding Korban Pesach, we allow that person to partake from it, but regular kachim, not. However, the Mishnah does tell us, Hashemei al Meisai, if someone hears the news regarding one of his close relatives that had passed away, now the day that he hears that news, even though the person had passed away maybe a long time ago, that is a rabbinic status of Oinen too. We continue on top of Tzadik Beis and Aleph. A similar type of halacha, like someone that hears that one of the seven relatives had passed away, v'hamalakid lo yatzamas. Someone that they had gathered the bones of his father and the mother, as the Gemara Ma'id Katan Daf Ches and Aleph says, that when they're moving the bones on that day, so that day he has to mourn a state of avelus that entire day. However, that does not apply to the evening. So therefore, regarding these two, someone that hears about one of his relatives that passed away, one of the close relatives, and someone that they gathered the bones of his father and his mother, teivel va'eichel b'kachim, they could immerse in the mikvah and eat not only by Korban Pesach, but even other kachim in the evening. And that is because here, even the day itself is only a rabbinic aninus. Therefore, the Rabbanan did not go so far to make a rabbinic aninus on the rabbinic aninus itself. In other words, by a regular aninus where it's deraisa, so in the evening time, by nighttime, rabbinically they say that applies to there also if he's not buried. However, here with the daytime itself, when you hear that news and when they're burying, when they're moving the bones, where it itself is rabbanan, so that in the evening time there is no, and therefore these can go ahead and eat even regular kachim in the evening because they have no status of aninus. Now, a related halacha, gershin is gar be'erv Pesach, regarding a person that converted on Erev Pesach, so there's a machlekes in our Mishnah. Bishami say that similar to the previous halachas, Tevel va'echel es pischel erev, just like the Einan, he could immerse in the mikveh and eat his karm pesach in the evening. Whereas the Bishilayim, they say no. Ha'poyish min ha'orla, someone that separates himself from the foreskin, which is what happens when the bris mila is done, when he becomes a ger, there's two components for gerus for conversion, is there has to be a bris mila and there has to be a tvila. So when he's doing the bris mila now, on Erev Pesach, is kapoyish min ha'kev, it's like he's removing himself from a grave. In other words, just like when someone touches a grave, a dead person, he has to have what's called hazah. He has to be sprayed with this, with the mei para on the third day and the seventh day, and he's tummy for 7 days. So to this person, when he becomes a ger, he has a tumah for 7 days, and therefore, obviously, if he's becoming a ger now in Erev Pesach, he can't have the carbon Pesach brought in him, just like a tumay mace has to wait 7 days and he has to be pushed up to the Pesach sheni. This individual who became a ger also cannot go ahead and have the carbon Pesach on this night. So now the Gemara goes to explain the first case of Admishnah. We spoke about an oinin. That an oinin, although he's forbidden to eat kachim that night, however, he's allowed to eat the carbon Pesach that night. So the Gemara asks, my timer. What's the reason? What's the difference between the carbon Pesach and other kachim? So the Gemara says, Kesavar, our town of our Mishnah holds, aninus delayla drabanu. That although it's a discussion, he holds that aninus at the nighttime is not derais, it's only rabbinic, and therefore the following difference. Because Pesach lo himidu divrein. Regarding the halachas of Pesach, they did not institute their rabbinic prohibition from eating the Karban Pesach because of their rabbinic status of aninus, b'makom karis, in the place where there is a punishment of karis, because Pesach, if you don't go ahead and bring it, is a chi of karis. However, gabi kachim, regarding other karbanas, hemidu divrein b'makom asay, they did maintain their rabbinic iser of consuming kachim in a state of aninus, because to eat other karbanas, it's only a general mitzvah saseh, as the pasuk says in Shemais Chavtes, v'ochlo oisim asher kupa behem, there's a mitzvah to go ahead and eat the meat of the karban. However, that's not a karis if one does not, and therefore, they were going to maintain our isad rabbanan, but by a karban Pesach, where there's a chiv of karis, there they withdrew that iser, and they allowed one, even in this what would normally be a rabbinic state of aninus, to go ahead and consume the karban Pesach. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that we said Hashemial Mesoy Bechulu regarding these two cases, someone that heard about a relative of his that died, even though it wasn't that day, or that they had moved the bones of his father and mother that day. So he said that they can go ahead and eat kachim that night, because there is no more status of aninus, it's only rabbinic even during the day, and it's not by the night time. But then the Gemara asks, Malakit Atzamis, the way our Mishnah said was that they were malakit for him the bones. Someone gathering the bones sounds like he himself gathered the bones. Well then, haboy hazor shlisha v'shvi. Forget about the halacha itself of the bones being moved. Where then that's only rabbinic aninus. Here he actually moved the bones himself. He gathered the bones. Now touching bones of a dead person makes one tummy for 7 days. So how could you go ahead and eat the not only karban pesach but even regular kachim that night? That the Gemara says, ema shaliktu loya tzamis. Don't say it as in he was malakit himself, that they gathered for him the bones, so he never touched the bones. So he's not tamei, but he has this just rabbinic aninus. That's only by the day, but not by the nighttime, and that's by the time nighttime rolls around, he can eat from the kachim. Then the last case of our Mishnah was geishin eskari v'chul, regarding a person that had converted on Erev Pesach. We had a machlekes b'shamim b'sil in our Mishnah. So the Gemara comes to clarify exactly this halacha and what is Basil's enigmatic statement that whoever's poyish from Arlo is poyish from that kevin, they becomes tummy. Where is this tummy from? So Amar Rabbi Baruchana, Amar Rabbi Yechna. Machlekes ba'arol nachri. The whole machlekes in reference to this case of someone that when he's poyish from Arlo, it's like he's poyish from a kevin, is only talking about a non-Jewish person that was uncircumcised. Which is, that's exactly the case that they're talking about regarding someone that's converting. So in this conversion process, he does a bris mila, he circumcises, which, what's the point of an oral that's a nachri? The fact that he's non-Jew, a non-Jew does not contract tumah. These halachas of tumah, when a person's alive to contract it, is only by Yisrael, by a Jew. Now, therefore, b'shil savri, b'shil hel gzeira, there's a rabbinic decree why we're making this non-Jew who's converting in Erev Pesach to be considered Tameh for 7 days. Because Shema Yitma, maybe he's going to become Tameh by touching a corpse Lashon Haba in the coming year. In other words, maybe next year when he's already a Jewish person. On Erev Pesach, let's say he's going to touch a dead person. The Yemen is going to say like this, Eshtakid, what about last year? Mili Tavalti Ve'achalti, didn't I go ahead and immerse in the mikvah? And I went and ate the Korban Pesach that night. In other words, you know, when I was not Jewish, so I was touched all types of tummy things, I was never careful, up until Erev Pesach. Then I became a convert, I became a ger, and when part of the conversion process, we said, is the bris milah, and he immerses himself in the mikvah. So he's going to say, last year, I was tummy, and yet still on Erev Pesach, one day I had the tefillah, and that night I was already eating the Korban Pesach. So achshav nami etzel v'oichel, this year too. You know, I realized from last year that although I'm touching dead bodies the whole day, it's not a problem. One day, boom, I go in the mikveh, and then that night I could eat from the Korban Pesach. However, v'lo yada, he doesn't know, d'shtakid nachri hava. Last year he wasn't Jewish. V'loy mekabel tumah, he couldn't even contract tumah in when he was still a nachri, when he was not Jewish. However, achshav Yisrael, what he doesn't realize is now he's Jewish, u'mekabel tumah, now he contracts tumah. And therefore, Basil hold, when he becomes a ger, a convert, he has to wait for 7 days. As Rashi explains, because there is no tumah that he's going to contract, that if he waits 7 days, that he won't become tar from that. Now, although Rashi says that regarding Ziva, you have to really wait 8 days because of kapara, however, since it's not possible for him as a non-Jew when he's converting to go ahead and bring a kapara, because he obviously did not really contract tumah when he was a non-Jew, because there is no contraction of tumah. It's just that we're making him wait this amount of time so that he won't mistakenly think next year when he is Jewish. And that's so since it's not feasible for him to ever bring a carbon on the 8th day because we're only doing it as a safeguard of this gezerah. So therefore, at least for all the other tumahs that don't require a carbon, the most amount of time it would need is 7 days. That's exactly what we require for someone that's becoming a ger. If you became a ger more than a week before Pesach, so fine, you waited 7 days. You're not going to assume that you're allowed to eat the carbon Pesach right after the tefillah on that day, and that night eat it. So that's what Beis Hillel meant to say when he said the term, that ha-perish min ha-arla ka-perish min ha-kever. It doesn't mean for a Jewish person, as the Gemara will explain. It means for a non-Jewish person that when he's going to do the conversion process, and he's going to do the bris milah, and he's also going to do a tefillah, he's going to think that then he can go ahead and be matar himself that for that night already. And that's not true, because if he touched a mess, it's 7 days. And that's why Beis Hillel said you got to wait 7 days, as if you were someone that was tamei meis, so that next year this problem shouldn't happen. We don't make such a decree that the person is going to make such an error in judgment. And that's why if you go ahead and do the conversion there of Pesach, you're a Jew, you can eat the Korban Pesach that night because you never had any tumas when you were non-Jewish. But this is what the Gemara says. However, a Jewish person that was uncircumcised, and then let's say he would have a status of, if he would become tummy right now, he would be careful because even though he's an Arul, he's uncircumcised, he is Mekabel Tumah like any other person. He's not like a non-Jewish person, uncircumcised, who's not Jewish and doesn't contract Tumah. So therefore, it doesn't apply the Gzer for the coming year, because even now he's careful. So Divriha called Tevav Oichalis Piskal Arab. There, everybody would agree, even Beis Hillel, that yes, he could immerse and eat his Korban Pesach that night. In other words, although an Arul Yisrael also cannot eat the Korban Pesach, if he does his milah on Erev Pesach, that's not what Beis Hillel meant when he said, Ha-Purish Min Ha-Arli Ka-Purish Min Ha-Kever, oh, you did the Bris Milah today, you got to wait 7 days. No. It was in reference to the Arul Nachri, who was the case that we're talking about in Gershon is Geyer. There is where the application of the Tevilah would be the problem of confusing it for the next year. But Arul Yisrael, this that he's finally able to eat the Korban Pesach now, that he's circumcised, he could even do it on Erev Pesach and eat that night. And we don't make a decree that to say that, oh, if we let a Jewish person that's circumcising an Erev Pesach, we might come to allow it by a non-Jewish person, and then you can have the problem of the next year. That we don't make such a gzeira, and therefore, this whole machlekes was by Arul Nachri, who is becoming a ger, and not by an Arul Yisrael, who needs the bris milah to be able to eat the Korban Pesach that night, and Beis Hillel would agree. The Gemara said, Tanur Hoch, it's similar in the Braisa. They never had this machlekes regarding a Jewish person that was uncircumcised. That he can go ahead and do the bris milah and immerse in the mikvah to go ahead and eat the Korban Pesach that night. Because there again, there's not going to be any confusion for the next year. Because the whole confusion is based on Tumah. He's a regular Jew. He just has other halachas that he can't eat the Korban Pesach. However, but he's aware of the halachas of Tumah even now. Amal Nechleku, what would they argue about? Al Aron Nachri, only regarding a non-Jewish, uncircumcised individual. Shebishama Oimrim, Tevav O'Echel Es Piskel Er. The Bishama held still he's allowed to go ahead and immerse himself in the mikvah and eat that evening. Obisila Oimrim, as he said in our Mishnah, Perish from the Arla, Perish from the Kevah. Whoever removes himself from the foreskin, it's like he's removing himself from the grave, which again we explained to say that he should have a status of Tumum so that he shouldn't confuse it for the coming year. Now relating to this, the Gemara brings the following statement from Rav. Amar Rav, Rav says, Oril, regarding one who is uncircumcised, Hazah, the spraying of the Mechatas to purify someone from the Tumah that he has, the Izemel, and the Mila knife, and these are all different signs of different halachas that we're going to discuss. Regarding these three halachas, Hemidu Divrei and B'makam Karas, Chazal, our sages, the rabbinic halachas, were maintained in the face of violating a chiv that is karis if you do not bring it, which is a specific mention to the Karban Pesach, which if one does not bring it, there's going to be karis. In spite of that, the Chum held on to the rabbinic halachas and said, you know what, rabbinically we don't allow this, and even though you're not going to be able to bring your Karban Pesach, and there's a violation of karis, it doesn't make a difference, the Rabbanan do not allow it. Whereas, Oinen, regarding one who is an Oinen, again, one whose seven relatives had passed away, Umitzaira, someone that has tsaras, Ubesapras, and regarding a plowed over field that had a grave inside of it, which these are all rabbinic halachas, lo yamidu devrein b'makom karas. There, the Rabbanan did not maintain their isser of the Rabbanan in place of the chiv karas, which again is a reference to the Karban Pesach, and they allowed the rabbinic halacha to be violated so that one could go ahead and fulfill his chiv deraisa, which is a chiv karas of the Karban Pesach. So sometimes yes, and sometimes not. So the Gemara explains all six cases. So first, the three that they held on to, they maintained it in spite of the fact that one is not going to be able to bring his Karban Pesach. So Aral, regarding the case of someone that was uncircumcised, that's Hada Amrin, that's what we mentioned in our Mishnah, of an Aral Nachri, that he is fit for that evening, and because he's a full-fledged Jew, and he didn't have any tumah before. And in spite of that, there's this gezeira of the coming year, which Beis Hillel said, we don't allow him to bring the Karban Pesach, in spite of the fact that, for all biblical purposes, he could, but rabbinically, we did not allow it because of this gezeira, which is a rabbinic gezeira, and he's not going to bring his chiv karas of Karban Pesach. The second one is Hazah. Regarding someone being sprayed with the mechatas, with the purifying waters on the third day and the seventh day of his tumah, the Amar Mar, that as the Gemara says in the Mishnah on the Samachayim at Beis in Perkei L'Dvarim, Hazah Ashvus, being sprayed with Mechatas, there's nothing wrong for that to be done on Shabbos, there's no Malacha being done, but it is rabbinic in the sense that it looks like you're fixing the person. So to purify someone on the seventh day by throwing the Mechatas on him is only rabbinically forbidden. Yet in spite of that we say, Ve'ein Deiches HaShabbos, that does not push away Shabbos, and hence, he's not going to be able to be purified on the seventh day, which is on Erev Pesach. Therefore, he's not going to be able to bring his Karban Pesach because he's not going to be fit to eat it that night because he didn't have the Mechatas thrown on him. And therefore, you see that the Rabban held on to their Isad Rabbanan of Hazah in spite of the fact, B'makom Karas, he's not going to be able to bring his Karban Pesach that night. Finally, the third case of Izemel of the Mila knife, the time like we learned in the Braisa. K'shem she'in mevi'in oisai. Just like you cannot bring this Izemel, the Mila knife, for a circumcision, Derech Rishus Aram through the Rishus Aram, which would be an Isidai Raisa, Kach in Mevin Isai, so too you cannot bring it, Derech Gages, through the roofs, Derech Hatzeris, through the courtyards, Derech Kafifis, and through the Karfif, which is a rabbinic prohibited area. Now, although these three areas of Gages, Hatzeris, and Kafifis are only rabbinic domains, that they're only rabbinically forbidden on Shabbos, that Minatayr, they're not forbidden to be transported through those areas. However, in spite of that, we say, you cannot carry the Mila knife through those areas on Shabbos. That is not allowed. The Mila is allowed to be done on certain times, but not to carry the knife. And therefore, this person is not going to be able to have their Karban Pesach that night. And that is because if anyone has a male in their household to be circumcised, and they're not circumcised, it holds back that person from being the Karban Pesach, as Abraisa says, that the circumcision of one's males and his slave men holds himself back from being the Karban Pesach, and yet in spite of that, we say that you cannot go ahead and transport this knife through Gagas Chatzis of HaKafifas, it's only Asim Drabbanan, so they're holding on to their Isad Drabbanan, B'makim Karas, even though now that he's not going to be able to circumcise his males, that's going to hold back that he can't bring his Karban Pesach, and therefore you see it's even B'makim Karas. Now the Gemara says the other three. those that they did not maintain, and they capitulated for the Issa Chiv Karis, that they said that, no, we're not going to make it Aser anymore, even though there's Issa Drabban. That is Oinen, regarding, as we had said in the Mishnah, that Aninis, by the evening time, is only Midrabban. So Hada Omer, and that's like we said in our Mishnah, that a person could eat his Karban Pesach in the evening, although rabbinically he is an Oinen, and that's what other Kashim you cannot. But for the Karban Pesach, Ben Malkum Karis, there they did not hold on to that Issa Drabban, and they allowed it. The second one is Mitzaira. So the Gemara asks, Mahi, what's the case of Mitzaira, that there's a rabbinic Isser that their Rabbanan said that since it's going to hold you back from your Chiv Karas of Karban Pesach, we did not say that it's Aser. The Tanakh learned a Braisa. Mitzaira, who is someone that has Tsaras, that he immersed in the mikveh, and he already had Harav Shemesh, sundown of his seventh day. So now he's on his eighth day. Shechal Shmini Shalei Be'erav Pesach. Now his eighth day happened to be on Erev Pesach. So, although he did already the tefillah and already had sundown, on the eighth day he has to bring his carbon and go through a tahara process that the mitzvah specifically has to do. So, what he generally does is, he comes on the eighth day into the Machne Leviyah, which is on the Har Abayis, and then he comes to what's the Shar Nikkanah, which is one of the gates going into the courtyard. But that gate was different than all the other gates, that it did not have the kedusha of the azar of the courtyard itself. As the pasuk says in Mikra Yadalad, that vehem ha-koyin ha-metara as hish ha-metara, that the koyin that's purifying the metzara puts the person that's being purified, and that they are lefnei Hashem. Now, so therefore, what's lefnei Hashem? That's by the Shar Nikkanah. Now, however, in the courtyard itself, the metzara is not allowed to enter. So what does he do? He rather puts his hands, he gets his hands inside the azar. And that is because the Mechusi Kippurim is although he's not allowed to go into the Azara, as the Gemara Makkos tells us that from the words in the Torah, Tamei Yia, that he'll be Tamei, that includes a Tful, Yom is not allowed to go into Azara, and Eitu Masabai, that also his Tum will be on him, that comes to include Mechusi Kippurim, who that's exactly what the Mitzari is on his eighth day. He's still missing his Kapara, his total atonement of his Karbanis and the process of Taharu, of the blood that's thrown in him. Therefore, if he would go into the Beis HaMikdash, into the ear of the Azara, he'd be Chayiv Karas. So again, so generally what he does is that he goes into the Har Bayis, the Temple Mount itself, in the Machne Leviyah. He comes into Shar Nikkanah. There they could spray the stuff on him, so it's not going out, and he's not going in. And that's how he usually gets his Tahara. However, Vira Keri Baibayim. We're talking about a case where he saw Keri had an emission from his body on that day, on the eighth day. So now the problem that comes is, now he can't go into the Machne Leviyah, into Har Bayis. The Gemara says in Perek Gilad Devarim, on some of Zayin Mabeis, that a Balkari gets sent out of two of the camps. So not only can he not go into the Azara, which is Machne Shechina, he can't even be Machne Leviyah, which is the Har Abayis. So what he does is, Tayvel, he immerses himself for his Keri, which you have to be Matari yourself, whereas regarding his Tsaras, as Rashi tells us, already yesterday he already immersed on his seventh day, which he had sundown. He's just waiting to bring his Karbanis and go through his process of Kapara. So he immerses himself in the mikvah for the Keri, V'eichel, and he eats the Karban Pesach that night. How so? So that the Gemara explains. Amru Chacham, the Chacham said, that afa pi shetvul yoyim, even though generally a person, that if he's a tvul yoyim, which is someone that immersed on that day, and he's still waiting for the sundown. So regarding a regular person that's a balkari, who's a tvul yoyim, that he immersed that day, Eina Nichnes is not allowed to enter into the Machne Leviyah, as the Pasuk says in Devarim Chav Gimel, Ki yeh b'cho ish ukava ha-shemesh, when the sun sets, then Yovel Teicha Machne, then he could come back into the camp. So he wouldn't be able to come and do his Tara process to then eat his Karban Pesach that night because he's a Balkari. So although, because he's Tzaras, he would be able to go into the Machne Leviyah and go into Shar Nikkanah and do it that way, but he can't even go into the Machne Leviyah because he's a Balkari. Here, once he immerses in the mikveh and he's a tful yoyim, zeh nichnas. This individual could go into the Har Bayis to get his hands into the behinah so that he could eat his Karban Pesach that evening. Now, why is that? So on that, the Braisa says, because mutav yaveh asay, it's better that the mitzvah asay, the positive commandment of a Karban Pesach, sheyesh bekaris, that if one does not bring it, there's a violation of karis. So you see how important this mitzvah is, that v'yitcha asay, that should push away the other mitzvahs asay, of that a tvul yoyim is not allowed to enter into the Har Abayis, which is a mitzvah asay, because although it's something you shouldn't do, but it's based on this that one should be sent out of a positive commandment, she'im bekaris, that not going into the Har Abayis, if you're a tvul yoyim, is only a mitzvah, it's also a mitzvah asay, but it doesn't have karis, and therefore, since that's only that one is not allowed to go into the Har Abayis based on that, therefore, we say that it's deicha that mitzvah asay, because the only karis that the individual has is going into the azara. There would be a chi of karis. However, regarding the Harabayis, where it's not Karis, it's only a regular mitzvah, say, that's pushed away by the necessity of the Karban Pesach for that evening. Now, Rashi says, although the blatant question is that he's sticking his hands into the Azara, so he is entering into the Azara, which also has Karis, and that the Gemara says in Shechitas Kachim in the third parak in Daf Lamed Beis and Mabeis, that for two reasons. Either there's one mandama that says biya b'mixes lav shma biya, just putting in your hands is not considered entering into the Azara. And then there's another opinion there that says that since it was permitted for him to go in partly for already for his saras, as we'd explained, that's generally what he does if he's not a balkari, even though generally there'd be a punishment of karas, and that's because of what the Torah tells you, because the Torah tells you, lefnei Hashem. So by default, you have to, and even though generally one is not allowed to do it if he's mechusik kippurim, but the Torah is telling you he's allowed to, so therefore, including that once he's allowed to do it, even though he's a balkari, he's also allowed to go ahead and stick his hands inside. So therefore, the only violation that he's going to have by being a Tevil Yom of a Balkari is going to the Har Bayis, where that's forbidden. But then that's only a mitzvah say without Karis. The mitzvah say of Karis, of Karban Pesach, pushes that away and allows him to go in. Now, V'om Reb Yechanan said that truthfully, this that we said that a Balkari going into the Har Bayis when he's a Tevil Yom is an Asay She'im B'Karis. It's a positive commandment. It is a mitzvah d'iraisa, but it doesn't have Karis. This that the Tana of the Bryce has said it like that, it's not necessarily really like that. And that's truthfully Devat Torah, that Minat Torah, Afele Aseim Boy. That there's not even a positive commandment that a Tvul Yoim, that he was about carrying the immersed that day, should not go into the Machan Leviyah. And truthfully, this whole halach is only rabbinic. Now, although we just mentioned before a pasuk of Kavah HaShemesh, that only when it is sundown, which means, say, when there's a Tvul Yoim and not sundown, that it is forbidden, that truthfully is a reference to Machan Shechina. For Machan Shechina, he's not allowed to enter until sundown, but regarding the Machan Leviyah, the Harabayis, that even Min HaTorah, there's not even a mitzvah saseh. Shneimar, like it says, the pasuk in Divrei Yom Beis, says, V'yamid Yehoshafat b'kahal Yehudi v'Yerushalayim, that Yehoshafat got up in the assembly of Judea and Yerushalayim, Beveis HaShem, in the house of Hashem, Lefnei HaChatzar HaChadash, in front of the new courtyard. Now that's a reference to Harabayis, now to the Temple Mount, and it's called the new courtyard. Now, my Chatzar HaChadash, why is it called the new courtyard? Shechitshu by Davar, because on some level there was some newness to the Harabayas that they had introduced new Kedusha that day. V'amr, and they said, a Tevul Yoim lo yikonis b'machan leviyah. Someone that immersed that day should not enter into the Machan leviyah. And that was the tradition that Rabbi Yochanan had from his teacher, that this was the Chiddush that they made that day. Now this concludes this second item that we said regarding Metzairah, that loy hamidu devarim b'makom karas, that regarding the Karban Pesach, which is karas, they did not maintain their Issur Drabbanan, which is what Rabbi Yechanan is saying, that this whole Issur of a Balkari, of coming into the Harabayas, is only a rabbinic Issur, as it was introduced later on, as we find in the days of Yehoshafat. But still, in spite of that Issur, they permitted him to enter, to be Matar himself, that he should not push away his Karban Pesach. So you see, Loi Himidu Devarim B'Makom Karas, the second item of Metzairah, which is on his eighth day, when he contracts the Tumah of Balkari, that they said that Yavei Asei Sheyesh B'Karas, and should be Deicha, not Asei She'im B'Karas, as Rabbi Yechanan said, it's not even really a mitzvah Asei, that to be Deicha D'Rabbanan, again, which is essentially Loi Himidu Devarim B'Makom Karas, that's the second item. And the third and final item is Beis HaPras, which is a plowed over grave, which again is the third item of Lohimidu Devarim B'Makom Karas, that although there's an Issur Drabbanan of walking in the Beis HaPras and becoming Tameh, they did not maintain that Issur in the place when there's a Chiv Karas of bringing the Karban Pesach, as did not, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Alas. That says, V'shavin B'Shamei U'Bisil, that both B'Shamei and B'Sil agree, we continue on to Amud Beis, that Shaboitkin, that we can check, and that is when they're going through this Beis HaPras, this field that had a grave in a certain area but was plowed over, which is a rabbinic Isser to walk through that area of the possible Tumah, you can go ahead and check as you're walking through La'isei Pesach. For those that are doing that, that they're on their way to do the Karban Pesach, if there's no other way to go through to get where you have to go to bring the Karban Pesach, you can walk through that way, which essentially is this third case, as we said, that this Issur Drabbanan, Beis HaPras, Lo Yamidu Devarim, they did not maintain that Issur B'Makom Karas when it stands in your way of bringing your Karban Pesach. However, the Mishnah concludes, however, V'ein Boidkin Lo Ichli Truma. We do not allow this leniency of violating this rabbinic Issur of Beis HaPras, of going ahead and checking when it's because you're on your way to eat Truma. Because there, rather, you should wait and you should go on the circumventing route, although you're not going to be able to get there tonight. It'll take a day or two longer, but since it's not imperative that you eat that tonight, So therefore, we don't allow this heter of doing baitkin, of checking on your way. Rather, you would have to take a different, longer route, whereas the Korban Pesach has to be eaten tonight. So we let you go through that field. Towards the Gemara asks, my baitkin. Just to clarify, in the Mishnah that said that we did not maintain this rabbinic iser of Beis HaPras, of walking through a plowed over field, which biblically there's no problem. It's just the Rabbanu were concerned that maybe there's going to be a bone the size of a barley corn, which a person could contract tumah. So regarding a Korban Pesach, they did not maintain their concern, and they allowed you to find your way through the field. Whereas regarding Truma, they maintained their concern. Now, how does one go about checking the field? Lo'ese Pesach, for those that are doing the Korban Pesach, that we allowed that to bypass the rabbinic concern, and you could actually check to see that there's no bones the size of a barley corn. So another thing more gives two approaches. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol. First approach is, Minapeach Beis HaPras V'Hilech. You blow as you're walking through this plowed over area where the grave was, and you go through, as Rashi explains, this Beis HaPras is a reference to a field that had a grave that was there, but then the field was plowed over. Now, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Alos, that someone that plows a field that had a cavern, that had a grave, he makes it into this Beis HaPras. Now, pras is a certain area, which is the amount of how far the plow goes, which is 100 amos. The Rabbanu were concerned that maybe the plow went and crushed the bones of that dead body, and now it sprayed it all over the length of where the plow goes. And therefore, there is a possibility of a bone the size of a barley corn. Now, this person is going to walk over it, and he's going to move it. And this a bone the size of a barley corn, a person can become tummy if he touches it or if he carries it, which is essentially what hesed is when you move it. So that's a concern, or a bit of concern. So therefore, what the person does, we allowed you to bypass that concern. But how? You blow with your mouth as you're walking. So there, Mimanav Shach, there either way, we won't be so concerned, because if it's a large bone, you'll see it. And if it's a bone the size of a barley corn, so as you blow, it's going to be pushed away because it's not so strong. And regarding Oihel, that you're leaning over and you're making yourself a tent over the bone, that's not a problem, because that way you don't contract tumah, because tumas oil by bones is only what's called roiv binyan or roiv minyan, either the majority of the structure of the skeleton or most of the bones that are in the skeleton. Where here, a bone the size of a barley corn is definitely not going to have tumas oil, and regarding hesed, you're going to blow it away so it won't be there. And that's what we allowed you to bypass in the case of Korban Pesach. Second upshot the Gemara brings, Rabbi Yehuda bar Abaye, Mishmid Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he says, Beis HaPras Shenidush. No, by virtue of a Beis HaPras that was trampled on by people's feet, Tahar, that's going to be Tahar. And that is just by the virtue of the fact that people stepped on it and pulverized it, that itself, if someone's coming to do his Korban Pesach, he just has to check. What does he check? He checks if it was trampled on. Then it was trampled on, then the likes of the fact that it's going to be a size of a barley corn is very unlikely. It was probably trampled and pushed away by the people. And therefore, if you check and you see that, again, the first pshat was you check as you're walking through. The other pshat is, no, just check if it was a trampled on field. If it's trampled on field, then you could go through. However, as the Mishnah said regarding eating truma, for that we don't rely on it, because since he could wait, and therefore we don't allow just to check to see there was trampled on. Now, and this concludes the discussion of the three items that they weren't hamidu devrayim b'makam karas, which is the Beis HaPras, which is only rabbinic, that loy hamidu devrayim b'makam karas the Pesach, that they did not maintain this rabbinic concern of Beis HaPras, and therefore that's like the third case that we said, that one is allowed to walk through the Beis HaPras if it's b'makam karas to bring the Korban Pesach. Hanu l'chi'isha, which I will turn to you, the 8th perek of Masechtas Pesachim, perek ha'isha. Now we begin the 9th perek of Masechtas Pesachim. Again, continuing on the theme of the Korban Pesach, specifically regarding Pesach Sheni, which is when someone is tamei, if he's richly impure, or b'derech ha'chayke, as the Pesach talks about these two items very far away, and he can't bring the Korban Pesach on the first one, then he has to go ahead and bring it on the second Korban Pesach. So our Mishnah talks about these types of things. So the Mishnah begins, Misha ha'yu tamei, someone that was richly impure, or b'derech ha'chayke, or he's very far away, and he didn't bring the first Korban Pesach on Yudal Nisan. So Yaseh Hashem, he goes ahead and he brings the Korban Pesach in the month of Iyar, on Yudal Iyar. Shagagoynan, so let's say he made a mistake, or he was against his will, it was forcingly, he was coerced, he wasn't V'loyoseh Sarishin, and he did not go ahead and bring the Korban Pesach in the first time on Yudal Nisan. So there also Yaseh Hashem, he does it on the second Korban Pesach, on Pesach Sheni, on Yudal Iyar. But then the Mishnah asks, if that's the real halacha, then why does the Torah single out and mention specifically regarding someone being tamei or very far away, that they, if they didn't bring it, they could bring it the second time? If it's by ol shaygigim and ol einsim, that they all could go ahead and bring it by the Pesach Sheni, why single out these two? Now, as Rashi explains, the Gemara asks, What do you mean? You needed the Torah to tell you Tame, which is that even if you wanted to do it by the first one, that you're not allowed to. That's the halacha is telling you. You would think maybe you could do it in the status of Tame. No, you cannot. Rather, you have to do it by the Pesach Shein. So rather, the Gemara explains that it must be going on the question of the Mishnah is going on Derech Chayka, where someone's far away and he's an Oynis, he cannot go ahead and bring it. Now, however, if he wanted to, he would be able to bring it through a shliach, through a messenger to do it for him. So, and that's like, as the Gemara will bring down, there's one of the Mandam, or one of the Amiram says that it would be considered a good carbon if he would send someone to him. And therefore, since the one who is very far away is just like all other Einzin, that he gets pushed up to the Pesach Sheni, so then the question then becomes, and that's what our Mishnah is asking, that the Einis of being very far away, why does the Torah have to single that out more than all other Einzin? But being very far away is an Einis because he cannot enter right now at the time when the Shechit is being done because he's very far away, as the Gemara says. And therefore, that's the Mishnah's question, not regarding Tameh, because that is a Chiddush in its own right that you cannot bring it. But rather, when you're very far away, why does the Torah single that out if it's no different than all other Einsin? You say all other Einsin also could bring the Karban Pesach and Pesach Sheni. Now, Rashi says, and were it to be telling us to the contrast, rather, just like Tame, that even if you wanted to bring it now by having a messenger bring it for him, he would not be able to. That Rashi says you couldn't say that because, as that Mandamer says in our Gemara, that it would be considered a good carbon. So obviously he would be able to. So then, why does it say again that he brings it by Pesach Sheni? Not to say that he can't bring it the first time, but rather to say that he could. But why single out being far away if all Einzim, who whatever the circumstances are, they also could bring it by Pesach Sheni? So that the Mishnah answers. She'elu p'turin mihikaris, because these individuals that we mentioned in our Mishnah regarding Tameh being derech hachikah far away, being a shaygig inadvertently or nenis because you were coerced, that these individuals are exempt from karis by not bringing it by Pesach Rishon. Ve'elu chayav mihikaris, whereas these other ones, they're liable for karis by not bringing it by the first Pesach. As we will explain, who are these others? There's no others that I mentioned in our Mishnah to say that, however, they will be chayav karis for not bringing it on the first Pesach. Now, relating to this, the Gemara brings the following Amarok Machlaikis. Itma we learned, Hayibederech Rechaika, regarding this individual, that he was very far away on Erev Pesach. Vishachtu Vizarkalov, and yet they slaughtered and they threw the blood for him, and by the time evening will come, he'll already have made it to Yerushalayim. Now, although he was very far away, and therefore right now he cannot enter into the area where he has to go to bring the Karban Pesach and slaughter it, which is the entire 6 hours from noontime up until Shkia. But he sends people, he sends a gram, a telegram, a telephone, he gets people to go ahead and bring the Karban Pesach for him. And by the time evening comes, he'll get there. So what's the halacha? Rav Nachman Amahurza, Rav Nachman says, that's a full-fledged Karban Pesach, and he's exempt from being a Karban Pesach the second time. Rav Sheshes Amaloyhurza, he says, no, that's not good at Karban Pesach. And the Gemara explains the machlekes. Rav Nachman Amahurza, he says, that's a good Karban Pesach that you did when you send people to do it for you. Because Mechizu Dechas Rachmanalav, the whole Torah, when it tells you that if you're very far away, you bring the Pesach Sheni, is the Torah having Rachmanas on you. It's the Torah's concern for you. And they say that you're not held responsible, and therefore you could bring it at a second time. But V'i Avet Tavel Bracha, but if you do, you find a way to get the Karban Pesach abroad, even though you're very far away and you yourself can't, you send a messenger. So for sure, blessing should come upon the person. You did it when it was supposed to be done. Rav Sheshes Amaloyhurza, he says, no, that's not considered a bona fide carbon. And you're going to be chayv to bring Pesach Sheni. Because mincha dachi rachmana ketame, not that the Torah has rachmanas on you and they say, well, okay, we're not held responsible. Rather, they do not allow you to bring it now. They push you away like the tame. As those are the two cases the Pasuk talks about, being tame and being far away. And that is this person that when he sent the messenger to bring it for him, didn't do anything, and he has to go ahead and bring a Pesach Sheni. So it's not that they didn't hold him responsible for the first one, rather they said, you cannot bring it because you're not here, you're far away. Rather, you have to bring it by Pesach Sheni. So now each one wants to bring a riot to their opinion. Amar Rav Nachman says, from where do I know a proof to say that it would be Hortzah, that it would be considered good, even though he's far away? That's not like in our Mishnah. Said Misha Hayu Tami Abiderech Rechaika, if someone was Tami, always far away, V'loy Oses Arishon, and he didn't bring the Karban Pesach at the first Pesach, Yasis Hasheni, so then he does it by Pesach Sheni. Mechlal, so the inference is, from the fact that the Mishnah says the words V'loy Oses and he didn't do it, sounds like the Iboyi of it, but if he wanted to, he could have done it. And as Rashi explains, it most definitely cannot be going on the case of Tami, because he cannot bring it. He's tamei, and he can't go ahead and bring the Karban Pesach. He's not fit to eat it. Must be it's going on the case of Derech Rechaika. So you see that although he's not held responsible for it, and he could bring about Pesach Sheni, however, if he wanted to, he would be able to. It's just saying, Veloyasa, that he didn't do it and because he didn't have to. But if he wanted to, it sounds like he could. However, if Sheshes Amalach, he would tell you no. It's not a riot. Because Ihachi, if the way you're learning up the Mishnah is like that, that it has to be going on one of the two cases it's talking about, and it can't be Tami, must be Derech Rechaika, and the words are sounding like that if he wanted to, he could, but then let's see Seifa. Look at the Seifa, the Tanya said as follows. It said, Shaga Goinanes, it continued with the next case. Let someone made an error, or he was coerced. Below Yosef, Sarishin, and he didn't bring the Karban Pesach by the first one on Yudel Nisan. So Yasa Sasheni says, you could bring it by Pesach Sheni. Then the question is, Midiktani Velayasa, the same diuk you can make over there. From the fact that it says, and he didn't bring it in, Mechlal, so the inference is the Ibay Oven, if he wanted to, he could have. But then the question is, which one of these two cases of Shagag Venenis, of when he was erred, or if he was coerced, is it talking about that if he wanted to, he could have done it? Hare Shagag, what do you mean? He made an error. He didn't know that today's Pesach. He couldn't have done it today. And Vahari Nanis, in the other case, was coerced. He also couldn't have done it today. And then the question becomes, then, what's Ibai? What is it saying that if he wanted to, he could have done it? Which one of these two could have done it? They couldn't have done it. He didn't know, and he wasn't able to. So what is the terminology, then, of the Deek of the Sefer telling us that the Beloyah says, if he wanted to, he could have done it? Elo, rather, what you have to say is that when it says loy asa, that he didn't do it in the seifa, must be that it's including a different case of mezit katani bahadayu. It's like as if it said the case of when someone did it willingly, on purpose. And that is what the seifa says, v'loy asa, that he didn't do it. However, that if he wanted to, he could have done it. Because which are the two cases of Shaganonis? Obviously, it's referring to another silent case that we're not talking about that when we says that he didn't do it. So Hachinami here also, by Loy Osa of the Reisha, what you have to say is that Ein Ketani Badayu, that we're also referring to the case of Einin that we had mentioned on the previous daf, that when it says V'loy Osa, that means to say that if he wanted to, he could have done it. That's like as it says on the previous daf, in the previous parak, in Parakah Isha, that an Einin and someone that's Mifakech is a gal, that's Sheikh Malin, that you could do the Shechita. And therefore, Rav Sheish is saying that it's not a Raya, that when it says V'loy Osa of the Reisha, that which one didn't he do, but if he wanted, he could have done. Must be Derech Rechaika. He's saying, no, because I'll prove to you from the Sefer where it also says V'loy Asa, which sounds like, oh, but if he wanted, he could have done. Must be not Shogeg or Einus. Must be another silent case that's referring to. That there it's saying that Mezid, so to the Reisha, V'loy Asa is going on, not in the case of Derech Rechaika. There it's like I said, that he cannot even if he wants to. But V'loy Asa was a reference to the case of Einin that we had previously mentioned. And Omer Vashi Rashi says, Masdin Namideka, Our Mishnah is more precisely read like the way Rav Sheish is interpreting that Mezid and Einin are the silent cases that we're mentioning of Veloy Asa, but that if they wanted to, they could have done it. Because the Mishnah ended off by saying this enigmatic statement of Elu Betorin Mihi Karis, that these are exempt from Karis, which is a reference to all the cases mentioned on Mishnah, Ve'elu Chayavin Mihi Karis, and these, pluralistic, are Chayva Karis. Now, ahai, on which one of these cases of our Mishnah is it that you're going to be liable for Karis for not bringing the first Pesach? If it's going to go on the last two cases of Shagig and Einis, what Shagig Venenis bin Karis? If someone's a Shagig, he erred. Or if it was an Einis, do you think he gets Karis? No, it's only if you're amazed. And it can't be going on Tamei Derech Rechaika, it can't be going on them because there the Torah explicitly says they're not liable. Elav amazed v'einin. What are these two cases that we're saying chayoven? They're going to be chayav karas. Must be going in the case of mazid, which is the seifa that we're including in the silent case, and einin. That's the silent case, like Rav Sheish said, that there is where v'lo yosad, but if he wanted to, he could have done it. Where they, if they don't do it, they're going to be chayav because they have no excuse, and therefore that seems to indicate, like Rav Sheish said. And although Rav Ashi made it sound like that, the Mishnah seems to indicate to the contrary. Not like the way Rav Nachman tried proving from the term of lo yosad that he didn't, but if he would, he was able to, which must be a reference to the case of Derech Rechaika, to which Rav Sheish had responded, no, to the contrary. It's going on the case of Einin, which is not mentioned, it's like the silent case. And Rav Ashi had proved that, because what are the cases of Chayavin, the plural, that they're liable, must be all the cases in our Mishnah, Yupatzvim Karas, because they're exempt. Must be, it's talking about the case of Mezid in the Seif, and the Reish including the case of Einin. That's what Loy Asu, but if he wanted, he could have done, and if you don't do, you Chayav Karas. To that, Reb Nachman responds that, and he does not learn the case of Einan and the Reisha, as he had already said his opinion, that Loi Asa is going on Derech HaChayka, Amalach, he would tell you, Lo'ilam HaMezid L'chudeh. Truth is that there's only one silent case of Mezid, and that is the Seifa. You have to say that it's missing a case, and that is what it says in the Seifa. Well, Loi Asa didn't do that. If he wanted, could have done. That's a reference to Mezid. And that's what the Mishnah concludes by saying, which Rav Ashi seems to indicate that's exactly like Rav Sheshes, that chayav and bikaris, that they're liable for karis, that's going only on the case of mezun, on one case. Now, but then the question is, chayav and bikaris is plural. That's why Rav Ashi said it's actually like Rav Sheshes, that there's mezun and the case of oinin, one for the seva, one for the resha. No. Ubedinu di boile le misnachayv. Truthfully, he should have said in the singular, that and these are chayav and karis, not chayavin. This it says in the plural, Lashon Rabbim, is either the Tana Reisha Baturin, that since the first half of the Mishnah said, in other words, the contrast, those are other cases, they were saying these are pluralist exempt from Karis, because those are the cases of Derech HaChayka, and Tameh, and Shagig, and Einis, they're all exempt. Those are many cases. So Tana Sefer, so the other flip side of that, for those that are Chayiv in Karis, is said also in the plural, but really Rav Nachman says there's only one silent case of that Loi Asav, the Seifa, which Shagig and Oynes could not have done it. Yes, that's a reference to Mezid. And the Reisha, that Loi Asav is not, there's no silent case of Oynen. Rather, that's a reference to like Rav Nachman Shita of Derech HaChayka, that if he wanted to, then he would have been able to bring it. So that was the Rav Nachman's attempt at proving his opinion. Now, Amr Sheshes, he says, Minam in Yilav, from where do I know my opinion? That it's Loi Hortza. And that is when you're Derech HaChayka, even if you want to, you cannot bring it. So the Tanakh, in the Braisa, Kiva says, Nemet says a pasuk in Bamidbar, these two cases, Tamei, v'nemet b'derech HaChayka, and it says regarding someone that's far away. So we continue on top of the Gimel Minalf. The Rebbe Kiva says, the pasuk is comparing the two of them. How so? Ma Tamei shesipik b'yadi lasa, just like when someone is Tamei. It isn't his capacity to bring the Korban Pesach. In other words, if the Torah would not have said, no, you cannot bring it, he's here, he's available, he's right in Yerushalayim, he'd be able to bring it. And yet still the Torah tells you, Ve'ena Isa, he's not allowed, the Torah says, forbidden, because he's Tamei to bring the Korban Pesach. So Rav Kiva says, after Chachekinami, that's exactly the other case of that Pesach when he's far away. Shesipik b'yadilasis, that he has, it must be talking about a case when he has the capacity to bring it. How so? He's very far away. Because it's told about that he has messengers that he could send for him to go ahead and bring it, and by the time evening comes, he'll come already. And yet, and still, ve'ena isim, still the Torah is telling you that, what? That you cannot bring it, that we are deicha you, just like we push you away by tumah, even though you could, we don't allow you. So too, derech HaChayka seems to be clearly Rav Sheshes, like my opinion, where even if you could, on that still that's what the Torah is telling you, that you're not allowed to, not that you don't have to, but you're not allowed to. Rav Nachman answered to you, that you're right, from Kiva seems to be like you, not like me, but that's because Rav Kiva l'tamei. Kiva goes according to his opinion, the ksava that he holds, which is a machlokes, that ein sheikh de mezerk and not tamei sheretz. He holds that we're not allowed to slaughter and throw the blood for someone that's a tamei sheretz on Erev Pesach, who although he's going to be fit that evening, because the sheretz is only tamei for that day, and when he immerses and he has Erev Shemesh sundown, by the time to eat the Pesach on the Seder night, he'll already be fit. Still, Rebbe Kiva holds on that side of that machlokes that you're not allowed to. Now, so therefore, That Rebbe Kiva said that sipik b'yad elas is when you have it in your capacity to do it, what he meant to say was that just like someone that's tamei, who tamei sheretz, that has in his ability to go ahead and bring the Korban Pesach, because, how so? Because that evening he'll be fit to eat. And yet in spite of that, we have a limud that tells us that you're not allowed to go ahead and slaughter and throw the blood on him. Therefore, the same thing would apply, that's Rebbe Kiva's logic, that just like we show by tamei, which is one of the cases of the pasuk, that although you're it's sipik b'yadi, how so sipik? How so? Because you'd be able to eat it that evening, and still we don't consider you raw, and you cannot bring it. So too, that's what the pasuk is comparing. But that when derech hachayka, even though you have a capacity to do it, that is, you can have a shliach, still we don't allow you. But that's based on his shita of that ain sheikh din mezerk not tamei sheretz. However, nosvirle, I hold commandama like the other mandama, the sheikh din mezerk not tamei sheretz, that you could slaughter and you could throw the blood for someone that has tamei sheretz. And therefore, just like over there, where you could go ahead and bring the carbon for someone that's a tamei sheretz, because he's going to be fit to eat that night, so to hear also, when someone that's derech hachayka, the same logic that Reb Kiva says, to the contrary, what you're proving to me, not like me from Reb Kiva, actually fits very well with my opinion. because the logic starts with what Tameh is to compare Derech HaChayka to that. Yeah, so if you hold like Rabbi Kiva, who that's his opinion, like those mandam that ain't Sheikh the Mezerkin, Tameh Sheretz, so even though you can do it because you'll be able to eat it at night, still we know Tameh Sheretz we're not allowed to, so to Derech HaChayka, even though you could. But I hold like those that hold Tameh Sheretz, you could bring the Karban Pesach with such a person because you will be fit to eat it at night. So too, the same comparison goes to Derech HaChayka. It's just like there's a way for it to be brought, I'm considered Ro, because I'm going to be able to eat it that night. So therefore, actually, Derech HaChayka is, like I said, that if someone could get someone to bring it for him, he has a shliach, then he could do it, and Tavilav Bracha, he's not going to have to bring a Pesach Sheni.